Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. It just so happens that it's my birthday.
What a coincidence.
I know.
That you should call me on your birthday.
Yeah. What? I called you. Is that how this works?
I don't know. That's
a little behind the scenes, even for the secret podcast, to reveal this inner workings, which is that, yeah, I say, hey, do you want to do the secret podcast in like Slack or something? And you say, sure. And then I call you. I think people could have figured it out.
Yeah, it's not, as secrets go, that one's fairly boring.
They could have puzzled that together.
Yeah. I mean, we shouldn't tell them that every week I actually fly out there just to sit in a different room while you then call me on Skype, because I feel like that gives away too much.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't need to know that.
Nobody needs to know that.
So I wrote like 2,000 words today, 2,200 words today.
Busy day.
Somebody told me, oh, you should. It's your birthday. You shouldn't work. It's like, yeah, that's not going to happen.
That's not how that works.
No, it's not. Yeah, 2,600 words today about storage features in Sierra. One of the pieces is up now, and the other one will probably be up tomorrow. I don't think I'm going to drop them both today, so I'll probably put the other one. I realized I had written a lot, and that some of them were not really, it was really sort of on two subjects. And then the editor inside me said, two pieces then. Thought about making it three, but I think two is the right number. So, but today's was about purgeable storage.
Yeah. Wow. That's the fun of purgeable storage, free space. It's not really free.
The way it works is, the government declares that for one day out of the year, all storage can be thrown away with no penalty.
That's actually, that would be terrible. That would be one of the worst things to ever happen.
Yeah. Sorry, I got it confused with the purge, which is a totally different thing and dumb. Yeah, purgeable storage. So I'm not sure I'm supposed to say that I had a call with Apple.
It's a secret podcast. No one knows.
I think I can maybe say that I talked to people at Apple, but I can't say who and I can't say what they exactly said, because it's like it's on background, and yet people write stories with information and it's always unclear. It's like you can't quote them. Can you admit that they exist? Anyway, I may or may not have talked to people from Apple, a person or people. I'm not going to even give you the number.
Could have been a computer. Could have been Siri.
It could have been Siri. It wasn't, but it could have been. And because they were aware of my review where I said like all these horrible things happened to my computer, and they wanted to give me more information about it. And it took a while, but it's good. I got to get more information about it. And the piece that went up today, Thursday, is about purgeable storage. Which, you know, the fact is, bottom line, TLDR: freedom isn't free, and neither is free space. But slightly longer. If you want to say this, is Apple has completely changed the way that it defines what free disk space is in macOS Sierra. Right. And if you're a regular person, you don't care. And if you're a computer nerd or a power user or something, you might actually care that they completely redefined what free space is. Because free space is no longer the area on disk where the drive knows it's all writable because there's nothing there, or, you know, there's the remnants of whatever was there before, but now it's just, it's marked as open, and the operating system will fill it with files at your request. That's the old definition. The new definition, it's weird because I had to come up with what a definition for free space is, because it's just sort of like, it's free space, but that's what it is. The new definition is, it's that plus everything on the system that it has decided can be deleted at the drop of a hat because it either doesn't need it or it can get it back from the cloud.
Well, it's interesting too, because this takes so for years we've used a variety of utilities, I think, to clear up some stuff in your free space, right? Like you might have used something like Cocktail or to clear some
spring
caches,
cleaning,
Daisy Disk, you know, these kinds of things. And so Apple's not directly necessarily competing with that, because it's obviously, since it writes the OS, it can go a lot deeper. But it's also adding in these classes of things that it knows, oh, you have that somewhere else. But it's similar
it knows,
idea.
Yeah, it knows. I have a list here. I'm not saying where I got this list of things as examples of what is purgeable.
It was on your stoop one morning.
I just know it. I'm that good, is that somehow now I know what purgeable things are. So things like files that are stored in iCloud, dictionaries that you haven't used recently, certain large fonts.
How many dictionaries do you think most people have on their computer?
Well, I think sometimes somebody might download a dictionary thinking, oh, yeah, I would love having that extra, you know, language or thesaurus or whatever. And it will toss those out because they can be large. Large fonts, especially Asian fonts, Japanese, Korean, and Chinese fonts, that if you don't use them, it will just kind of delete them and know that it can download them because they've got those on Apple servers. Movies and TV shows that you've already watched and are re-downloadable from iTunes. It knows about that their presence. And all your photos and videos that are in iCloud Photo Library, if you've got the optimized Mac storage setting turned on in Photos. So basically, it's everything that it knows that certain stuff it either doesn't need or has a copy in the cloud that can be downloaded later. And the one that's on disk is essentially not required. And so what ends up happening is if you install Sierra, you think, oh, wow, it really freed up a lot of disk space. And I thought that, too. And I think it does. I think it is like cleaning up logs and things. It does a bunch of other stuff. Like you were mentioning spring cleaning utilities. I mean, it has that whole utility in there where you can identify things that take up a lot of space and delete them. And right. It does that, too. But in addition to that, it's adding stuff. It's adding free space to your regular free space that is actually files that are still on disk, but it considers them essentially purgeable. They might as well be free space because if you need it, they will go away and you will fill the space with what you want. So like on my hard drive right now, I've got 74 gigs of free space and 22 and a half of that is purgeable. What that really means is I don't have, by the old definition of the term, I don't have 74 gigs of free space. I have 52 gigs of free space plus 22 gigs of purgeable.
All right, I'm looking at my laptop right now. I have 84.86 gigabytes available and 34 gigabytes of that is supposedly purgeable.
Right. And the way it works, and this didn't work for me, but I also ran into some bugs that Apple knows about. Again, I'm not saying how they know, but how I know they know, but they know. They're aware of them. I definitely ran into them. But the theory here is if I've got 74 gigs available, but actually my traditional free space total is 52. Right. What happens if I copy a 60 gigabyte file onto my drive? And the answer is what's supposed to happen is it just copies. And because I've got 74 gigs available, it just copies. In the background, what's happening is it's going to purge a bunch of stuff, and it's not going to just leave it so that it's like my files go and then there's just enough. It fits under the bar. It actually will purge more than that because, as a lot of people know, and you may have seen it if you've ever gotten that warning that says your disk is almost full. Macs really behave badly when they have almost no free space for a bunch of reasons, including the fact that the disk is used as swap to get stuff out of memory when you don't have enough memory for things. There are lots of reasons why a healthy Mac needs a little bit of free space just to work with, even though there's no files in it. So it will over purge a little bit to give you some free space. But the idea is if you copy that 60 gig file onto your disk, it's not going to say, I'm going to need to do some purging in order to fit this in. It's not going to reject you and say, you don't really have this. It'll just do it. And it, in the ideal circumstance, that all works. Now, I ran into bugs where that totally didn't happen. And I had 80 gigs free and copied on a 50 gig file. And it said there's not enough room, which didn't make any sense. But those were apparently bugs. Apple's aware of them. So that's good because that stuff will get fixed. And I like this feature. I mean, the photos thing is a good example. I love that now if I really need space, the system will clear out all of those photos that I have in iCloud. And because I've got like 10 or 15 gigs of photos in my photo library. And it's fine that they're there because it means that when I want to edit one of them, it doesn't have to download it from iCloud. But the fact is, I don't need them. That photo stuff was already kind of purgeable, but it might have been doing some things behind the scenes. But now, like, you can tell. Like, it's just all part. It's explicit now. Like, this is stuff that we don't need, and we'll delete it if we need to. It's not bad when it works and they're not bugs. It's just very different from the definition that we've had up to now.
Well, the challenge with it is, I think, you know, files are an abstraction anyways, right? And if you get down to sort of the base level, there's a lot of stuff that is handled by, drives in the way that, like, your concepts of files and stuff like that. You know, there's a catalog file that keeps track of all this stuff. It's all done automatically. When you change stuff, you copy stuff, you move stuff around. you know, obviously you don't want to interact directly with that. But we've all grown so used to the interactions, like dealing with these files and this abstraction of things over the last 20, 30 years, that now, you know, this feels alien in some ways to me, because it means offshoring more control. And in theory, there shouldn't be anything less trustworthy about it than the, you know, very trustworthy software that we use at the most basic level to, handle our files. And yet sometimes there is something deeply uncomfortable about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the other article I wrote, which will be out tomorrow probably, is about the iCloud Drive stuff, which is much more fraught. I mean, this is, I'd say if there weren't trust issues about the other stuff, this would be less of a big deal. But I feel like everybody, or not everybody, I feel like there are people who look at monkeying around with stuff in the file system, right? I mean, that's what you said. And there are some trust issues there. It's like, I'm willing to accept a certain level of abstraction, but above a certain point, I start to get worried that I'm not sure I trust that my stuff is what, you know, what it says it is. And when I run into these bugs, I mean, that's the problem here, is when you redefine what free space is and it's implemented inconsistently or it's got bugs in it, what ends up happening is, you know, maybe you don't lose files, but like I was unable to back up an iPhone, even though my computer showed like 80 gigs free and it was a 64 gig iPhone. And I was unable to back it up because I didn't have enough room. And that was a bug. It got confused about how much free space I really had. But the fact remains that free space goes from being a thing that the OS knew about. And now if there's a bug, the OS doesn't know how much free space it has.
And to a certain extent, it's because, I mean, you look at the very low level stuff that handles files and storage, and you know, that's you know, the Mac is often, we often laugh about the fact that the file system is more or less unchanged for the last 20 odd years, you know, and it's to a certain extent that's because that software, messy as it may be from a, you know, sort of design standpoint, It's not bulletproof, it's pretty close. I mean, it's time tested, right? Like this stuff's been running for 20 years and the limitations are known. What it does, it's at least pretty consistent at doing that. Whereas, you know, Apple's implementing a new feature that's essentially only been tested in a beta period and in their labs. And this is a feature that's going to act very differently for a lot of people depending on what their setups are. And you can only test that so well under controlled conditions. So now that it's out in the wild, we're going to end up with, you know, some people who are in edge cases that are going to be adversely affected. And those people are probably going to be disproportionately loud about that. And that's going to scare off a lot of other people. So, you know, if you were starting with like a totally clean Mac, I could understand why this system would work really well for you. But it seems like their onboarding process for anybody who's actually been using a Mac computer for a long time is a little bit finicky and perhaps a little too smart for its own good.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's, I don't know. It's stuff that requires trust. And many of us computer user type people are lacking in trust.
Well, for good reason. You know, our data is important to us.
Yeah.
And that's the most important thing on a computer, right? Like, is your data.
And
you know, you gotta treat that with some respect.
So what the next story is going to be about is, I mean, I did get to the bottom of, or at least somewhere deep down into what happened to me when my logic project files were being deleted out from under me. Not permanently deleted. They were on iCloud. But it turns out it was a confluence of bugs and weirdnesses that all happened together. You could say that perhaps my unique set of circumstances will not be replicated by anyone else. I have a hard time believing that me using a feature for a couple of days exposed edge cases that will never be replicated. I think that this is probably applicable, but the short version of it is I had some bugs going on, like the fact that my system lost track of how much free space I really had. So that was part of it. So I was trying to delete things when it didn't need to. That was really infuriating. And then there's, so Logic, a lot of programs work this way. Like Keynote, like when you drag a picture into Keynote, what happens? The fact is your Keynote file is not a file. It's a folder called a package that looks like a file. And inside is the data file that's written by Keynote and the images and stuff that you drag into it. It basically makes a copy and stores it inside the package. And the reason it does that is you don't want to copy your keynote presentation to another computer and have it open up and say, oh, I don't have any of the images that you dragged in because those were over on the other computer. So it loads them all in there. And the packages are great because everything rides along with. And in this case, a package and a Logic can, but doesn't have to save its projects as packages. Those are correctly detected. And that's like Apple's preferred file format and method of building projects in all of its apps are using the package. So if all the files are in the package is seen as a unit by the system. iCloud is not going to try to optimize away parts of a package. If it's in the package and you're using the package, everything's safe. But I wasn't. My files weren't in a package. My files were in a folder with a project file. But it wasn't a package. And here's the thing. This feature where iCloud deletes files that it thinks you haven't used in a long time in order to free up space that it needs, essentially marking them as purgeable. It seems to have a limited view into the file system. It's not tracking every time a file is accessed. It will track if a file is opened from the Finder. But that's not the same as it being accessed. So in the case of Logic, I'm opening a project file and then it's loading data from those audio files. And that doesn't count.
Right. A package is in of itself kind of a weird abstraction, right? Like,
yeah.
That came about mostly in the OS X era.
Yeah, it's an OS X feature. I mean, it's a hack of a sort, but the idea is how do you get... how do you get a bunch of stuff? It's a usability thing. It's like for users. The fact that you don't have to have a whole folder of assets that comes along with your file, nor do you have to have like a binary file format that attaches a whole bunch of image files. So every time you save, you're saving not just your file. Like Microsoft Word always did this, right? You're not just saving your file. You're saving every image that's included in it because that's what's in that file. Package, you just change the one thing. iCloud only syncs the one thing that changed. It's kind of brilliant in that way, but it looks like it's one file. Although if you try to email it to someone, it'll suddenly become a zip archive, and that's why, because it's not actually a file. So they have to zip it and then send the zip file because that's a file. So anyway, these files that were 2 weeks old, these audio files, iCloud was like, oh geez, I'm out of space, I need to start deleting things, and it decided that 2 week old audio files were so old that I was probably not going to use them, which is a mistake. I don't know why it happened, other than that I think the system was very confused about how much free space I really had. The funny thing is, now Logic and Final Cut, these are pro apps, right? They're written by Apple. They're produced by Apple. Turns out that there are some APIs that developers can use to indicate what files a project is using, even if they're not in a package. And that's very useful for things like iCloud. However, Apple's Logic and Final Cut Pro don't use those APIs. So
maybe they weren't aware.
Maybe
nobody told them.
I have a sneaking suspicion that they are now aware. I just get that sense. I don't know that for sure. Nobody told me this, but I do have the sneaking suspicion that when somebody writes a review of a new macOS version and has a terrible experience that ends up happening largely because one of your own apps didn't support one of your own APIs, that maybe somebody got a word. It's possible. I don't know for sure, but again, it's possible. So a whole bunch of bad things happened, and I got my files back. My files weren't gone. They were gone off my drive, but they were still in iCloud. It was fine. I got them back. So here's the thing though. Apple did a tech note, and this one I'm going to take full credit for. It's tech note HT207236. How to use pro apps.
The Jason Snell note.
How to use pro apps with optimized storage, in which you discover two tips about how to use pro app projects with optimized storage. Here are your choices. One, move them somewhere else and not in a synced folder, which is basically don't. Two, turn off optimized Mac storage. Literally, that's the tech note, is move it out of a synced folder or don't use the feature. That's how you use pro apps with optimized storage. So, hey, this feature that we added, don't use it. Not if you're using apps that don't manage files in a way that is the way that Apple wants you to.
And the real problem with this, I think, is that it, I think, will make people even more gun shy about even trying this feature. Even if Apple fixes it in the future, right? Like they might fix it and say everything's fine now. We've tested it; it works great. But you're always going to have that nagging suspicion because you've heard of these cases. So it's unfortunate because it damages. It damages what might be a handy feature for some by, you know, sort of tarnishing the reputation.
Just makes it a little scarier. I've seen stuff like this happen before, but when Apple's own apps don't support a new Apple OS feature, that's the thing that kills me. It's like, come
left
on, guys.
Hand,
you
right
gotta,
hand.
You gotta do that. So,
but does FileMaker support it? That's an important question.
Anyway, you can turn it off. That's what the problem is. Like, this is a good feature if your internet connection is fast and permanent and unmetered, right? Because basically what you're doing is your small SSD that you have in your computer, in your MacBook, that's a, you know, it's a 512 or 256 SSD. So it's not that big. Is now, depending on how much iCloud storage space you own, could be like a terabyte more. And that's cool, right? That's a great idea. But the problem is the cases of things like if you're working on an airplane and one of the files that you have in your documents folder that you're going to drag into that keynote presentation, that's this chart that you made, of last year's sales, and you want to reuse that or whatever, and it's gone. If you're, you know, you're on an airplane where you can't get internet or without paying, or you're on you're tethering and you're on a meter connection, and that big file, that audio file that you were saving to drop in somewhere is now gone, and you can download it again, but it's going to take time, or it's going to cost you because it's using more of your data. These are the issues there. And then, you know, the workaround is just walk away. I mean, that's essentially what Apple's saying is, look, if you can't do this, if you can't trust us and put your faith in this approach, your option is to walk away. There's no UI to say, always keep these folders. You know, always keep these folders and
prioritize these types of projects. You could even like label things or whatever.
I guess. Yeah, Apple's never going to do something that fiddly, it would be not a totally fiddly bit of UI to be able to click on a folder that's in an iCloud Drive folder and say, don't optimize me, basically. And that one will just lay there. Don't optimize me. But it doesn't do that. So I think on the one hand, for very simple scenarios, this is probably an okay feature. If it didn't do bad things, if they fix all the bugs and stuff, I could turn it back on my iMac because it does have a fast, wired, unmetered, always on internet connection. So that's fine. But if I was taking files with me on my laptop, I would be much more hesitant about it. If I lost those files, I would end up having to do what this feature is supposed to prevent you from having to do, which is find all the files that you need to take with you and move them somewhere special. So you've got them with you. The whole purpose of this feature is for that not to happen. They're just with you. They sync. They're accessible from your iPhone and your iPad, and they're on all your Macs. And So they got more work to do. And the other thing is the turning on the document and desktop folder sync, which. You know, the way it works, if you turn on for one Mac, is basically, it's almost seamless. It just, now your documents and desktop folders are in sync. Yay. But if you then turn on a second Mac, weird things happen because...
Wait, what is it in sync with, if not your other Mac?
Well, it's in sync with iCloud. It's in sync with iCloud Drive, and that means that it'll show up on your iPhone, it'll show up on your iPad, and that seems to be like reason one they did this feature is not to sync the desktop of two Macs, but it's really to let you get access to your Mac files anywhere you go with your iOS devices. That seems to be at least what they're emphasizing. Maybe because of the experience with that second Mac, you turn on the second Mac, and what it doesn't do is, and probably should do, is say either warn you. that something is going to happen or let you choose what happens. But instead, what it does is it just doesn't ask. It makes a new folder in the in the existing desktop folder on iCloud that's named desktop dash name of your computer. It moves all the contents of your computer's desktop into that folder. And the net result is when you turn this on and you get to the desktop, all of your files on the desktop have disappeared. Freak out time, right? It's like, that's a moment of fear. Even if you know what's going to happen, there's that moment of fear. And then, you know, it turns out there is a folder there that says desktop for your computer name. And if you double click on it, all your files are there and you can drag them back out. Also, you may see the files from the other computer's desktop will now be on your desktop because it prioritizes that one. The first one in gets the desktop and the next one in gets a folder inside the desktop. And there are good reasons to do that. If you've got two junky desktops on two different computers and it suddenly merges them all together irrevocably, that would kind of stink, right? Maybe you don't want that to happen. You want to keep your desktop separate or whatever. But what it doesn't do is like let you say, I want to pick which one of these things is my desktop on this computer, even though I'm syncing both of them. It doesn't say, would you like me to merge these desktops together? It doesn't say, would you like me to not do anything, right? It just doesn't say.
Right.
It just goes, all right, it's all turned on. And that's when people freak out, even though their files are still there.
It's a weird backlash against, I don't know if you remember, like, and it still happens sometimes. If you ever open like an iWork file, like a Pages or Numbers file, and there's like, you know, it finds multiple versions of that file. It's like, oh, which one of these do you want me to keep? And it's got like two different files with two different revision dates. And I frequently have ones that I'm like, I think these are the same.
Right.
And it seems like they went 180 from that because like people just got so annoyed about resolving file conflicts. Well, just be like, you know what? We're not even going to ask you. We're just going to take care of this. We're just going to do it.
I mean, there are lots of issues like that. But like if I turn on this feature on my iMac and I've already synced a MacBook with it, I'd love to be able to say, no, you know what? I want to use my Mac's desktop as my desktop. And you know, it'll be in iCloud and I can see it. But that's what I want that folder to be my desktop folder. And they're like, nope, that's not going to happen. There's one desktop folder and you can have the subfolders or not, but we're going to move them in there. But I think it just creates a bad user experience because now your files disappeared. I know that they're not gone and people can figure it out. But from the user's perspective, they've just turned on this feature and their files disappeared. And that's not really great. Also, by the way, when you turn this feature on and you're prompted to turn it on when you install Sierra, as long as you have enough space. If you don't have enough space, then it will ask you to buy more space. And if you say no,
also
then,
a great experience.
Yeah. And if you say no, then it won't let you turn it on. But if you do turn it on, optimized Mac storage gets turned on by default. So you actually would have to then go and turn it back off if you wanted to use document syncing, but not have it also have the ability to purge your files if it wants to, which I recommend. At this point, I really recommend nobody use that feature because it's buggy. There are bugs in there and maybe they'll fix them. But if you're syncing folders that have important stuff in them, turn that feature off. Either move like the tech note says, either turn it off or move your important stuff somewhere else because that's I don't know. I love the ambition. I love what they're going for. I get what they're trying to do. I think if it's all implemented well and maybe with a few changes to hold people's hands a little bit more, I think it could all be pretty good. But that's not where we are. We're in a world where those features are kind of buggy and it does do some scary stuff. And
Well, that's anyway, what happens when you give computers too much control.
So I got a tech note, is what I'm saying. I am responsible for a tech note.
Well done.
Woo!
At least doesn't, you know, I wish it had said something like, you know, as if you're using these pro apps, you should keep away from this macOS feature as if it were a swarm of bees, which is my favorite tech note of all time. I don't think it exists anymore, but it was an old one. Sync services, actually. Sync is hard, it turns out.
Sync is really hard.
That's experiences from the trenches there.
Yep. Behind the scenes. Don't call it a briefing. Whatever it was.
Or a comeback.
I'm not going to even admit it. But there it is. Yeah. Anyway, that was my day.
Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday. Yeah. Happy birthday to you dealing with cloud storage. Mm-hmm. That sounds great.
Woo.
Not a lot else going on this week, I feel like.
I feel like I filled the secret podcast. No, there's not a lot going on this week.
I got nothing.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's true.
Nothing else.
Google, there's a lot of Google stuff, but we're not going to talk about that. I don't want to talk about Earth stuff.
don't want to swear. That is the second podcast this week, that tech podcast this week, that has made that exact quote.
Mm.
That is how our episode of The Rebound ended this week, with Lex saying, I don't want to talk about Earth
stuff. I don't want to talk about Earth stuff. Yeah, that's a Hello from the Magic Tavern reference for people who have not listened to that podcast. Yeah, it's the Google stuff. It's like, it is. I look forward to seeing what they do. I'm intrigued by the Google Home thing. If I had to bet, I would say that, you know, this is one of these dumb, this is like a pun. I'm going to do some punditry here, Dan. Here's my punditry. I predict that the Google Home is better than the Echo at some things and worse at others.
Whoa.
Yep. I think that's going to be the answer, and we're all going to be like, oh, interesting. Say. I know, right?
Do you want to put some money down? You want to make that interesting?
Yeah.
I believe the Echo will be better at some things and the Home will be worse at some things. That's a bold position, I know.
But yeah, I think we agree.
Or do we?
If
hard to say.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, we'll call it off there. I hope everybody enjoyed listening to me rant about Sierra a little bit more. Hey, it's Mac news. That's something. And it's my birthday, so I get to pick. Ha. Huh, how about that?
That's good.
So we'll
that's
be back fine. Next week with probably, again, it's up to us, but probably with another secret podcast.
Sure. Let's say yes.
Yeah, sure. I'm going to Arizona for a couple of days at the beginning of the week, but you know, we usually don't record this at the beginning of the week, so.
Yeah, I probably won't record it by myself alone.
No, probably not. Although Stephen Hackett did listen to last week's episode and offer himself as vacation relief for you while you're in India. So,
you know what, Stephen? Stephen, stop gunning for my job. I know you're listening, waiting, watching.
Yeah, he's right here.
Ah!
He's right behind you.
What's new?
Yeah. All right. Thanks to everybody out there for subscribing to Six Colors and for listening to the silly podcast. And we appreciate your support. And we'll see you next week, probably, if we choose, if we feel like it. Bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.